Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Young Maine, 35 riders. This coast wide.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me a blessing. Now I'm shining. I'm nothing like this nut.
Why? The hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking
that. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like this nut.
That's why
I will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like this nut.
Why? Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard. That's so hard, push homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause I'ma ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run the city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like this nut.
That's why
will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like this nut.
Why? I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
Yo, 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 what it do? Welcome to The Cut on Global 14 Radio. Your girl Onyx holding it down with you and the homie at Golden Fleece.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, man, what a week, what a week. Getting down to the wire this weekend, man. 20th anniversary, you know what I'm saying? So, Jermaine Dupri. You know, I'm out here in Orlando, man, and I'm hearing it go crazy. Anybody talking to me about it out here? They're hearing about it on blogs, you know what I'm saying? Radio out there in Atlanta is going crazy. Yeah, they already started partying, I heard.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going down.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going down in a major, major way. Shout out to the General, making a 20th anniversary. We will be in the spot to be this Saturday, February 23rd, and if you're not going to be there, I don't know where you're going to be at, but you should be there February 23rd again at the Fox Theater. So for more information, you can head over to www.global14.com, or you can Google Fox Theater. I don't even know their exact link. However, I do want to let everyone know that's listening and tuning in for the first time, checking in with us. Again, global14.com. This is the radio station via that social network site, a really dope site. You should get over there and check it out. Lots of groups and blogs and a lot of things that you might be interested in. So do go by and check it out. A lot of things are happening with The Cut. Like I said, we will be in Atlanta this weekend. So holler at us if you see us when we out in the streets putting in that work.
Yeah, then, yeah, it's time to go out there, chill, but we got work to do, man. We want to find out how everybody feel about the 20th anniversary. If y'all missed JD on the Breakfast Club, he basically told y'all that, you know, this is a historic event that nobody's ever done. So right. if you see the 20th anniversary concert start coming afterwards, just know, you know, he put that in play. He put that in play. And, you know, to have as many artists from the So-So Def Camp come back to perform at that 20th anniversary, like he said himself, I don't think you'll see another one of those concerts again because I'm not sure if any other indie label can get as many of their artists back and to have that type of unity and that concert unity. So shout out to JD again. This is definitely a big deal for him in Atlanta.
It really is, and I'm so excited to see the homies Jagged. Like I said, homies, like I know, but Jagged Edge, Bone Crusher. That, you know, that excites me. I haven't seen them all performing together in a minute. Little John, I'm excited to see him. I've been talking about him for like the past 3 months, so it's really cool to be able to see him as well, and you know, it's just going to be a nice time. And then since we're mentioning about people, indie artists and indie labels, I did get, as always, some people hitting me up today and yourself about playing their music and whatnot. So, Golden, I know you got the scoop on how everyone can be a part of that, and I'm pass the mic back.
Yeah, yeah, all you got to do is hit us up on our networks. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on global14.com. Twitter handle for Onyx is Onyx, at Onyx254. Mine is at the Glue, THAGLUE. I hit us up on global14.com. I'm Golden Fleece on global14.com. And Onyx and Onyx on global14.com. So just holler at us, inbox us, direct message, shoot us information however you want to. We'll review the music and then we'll play it on the show. We like to play it on our constructive criticism shows, our live feedback shows, and we always meet great people when we do that, man, because we gain relationships with the people that was on our shows and we play the music, and you know, they become fans, we become fans of theirs, you know what I'm saying? So it's all love, man. Don't be afraid to shoot us that music. We definitely get it on.
I know that's right. We sure do. I actually wanted to ask you, who are you most looking forward to, before you move forward to the show, who are you most looking forward to seeing at the So-So Def 20th?
Oh, man, it's so crazy, man. I'm looking forward to definitely see Chris Cross touch that stage.
Yeah.
I was a big Chris Cross fan, heavily influenced by, you know, the starter jerseys, the sneakers. You know, basically, if you look at any of my old school pictures, I look like playing with cats, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, definitely looking forward to seeing them dudes. Also, really looking forward to, Jaquan, even though he didn't have a long run, Tipsy joint was real huge. And,
he did that.
You know, I remember, you know, I'll never forget, man, it was Black College Reunion. We used to call it Black Beach Week in Daytona Beach, and people come from all across. And that song was killing it one year, Black Beach Week. So that whole experience, that whole weekend was basically the Tipsy song, just murdering that joint. So looking forward to seeing him. Also, you know, I heard Mariah going to be at the piece. I'm not looking forward to see Mariah Carey, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a lot of people, actually, man. You know, everybody loves Jagged Edge, Skate, you know what I'm saying? But, no, let me not even forget the Brat, like, Funkified is one of my favorite records of all time. Funkified is, you know what I'm saying?
Me too.
You got to, come on, man, Mr. 106 and Park himself.
I know, Bow Wow. I'm so excited about all of them. I know. It's
you know how it is with Bow Wow. He had them, Bow Wow, that type of artist that'll come back with a joint that you ain't expected. You ain't gonna be expected to be no hit, because you're gonna be like, yo, it's Bow Wow, he got some cool joints, but then you find yourself loving, at least me, then you find yourself loving a song he did, like the one him and Omarion did.
Oh my
that,
God, Hold You Down?
The Let Me Love You joint.
Yes, Let Me Hold You Down.
That beat is so crazy.
See how I knew it before you even,
joint.
Yes, you see how he knew it before you even like went into the details of it, because I already knew, that was my joint. It still is. I mean, because I like Omarion.
It's a lot
anyway.
Of joints that Bob did. It's a lot of joints that
that
are really hot, you know, even from when he was back as a kid because of the mentors that he did have. So, you know, you're looking forward to seeing all of that, man. So I just think it's going to be a dope concert all in all, you know. So
Yeah, it's definitely
I hope Rocco show up, too. I hope Rocco
show
up.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
I'm
going to do me.
Oh, that's right. It's crazy when
that
you
was
get
so deaf right there, Jermaine.
I
was
know.
With him in the video.
And then you know what? Gosh, we can go forever on this because even the My Boo, I think it's a Nas, like that's my joint too. Like I remember that us girls singing that song.
Oh
like,
yeah.
It's just so many. It's just nonstop. Like there's so much, you know. But
Now he definitely had his hands in a lot of groundbreaking joint. So it's definitely good. Not even to mention the So Def Bass All Stars that At Night I Think of You joint. That
joint ruled the summer.
I forgot what year that was.
That's what I meant.
That was like the beat song of the year.
That's what I meant. The My Boo. Is that what you're talking about? No. Ghost Down DJs. Which one are you talking about?
Is that the same one.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, that's the same joint.
Yes, it's just a lot. I'm very excited. Everybody that's listening again, make sure you do step out to the social Death 20th this Saturday, February 23rd. We'll be all the way live and turned up in Atlanta, Georgia, Fox Theater. Google, check it out. Get to global14.com. First time listening, this is the station via that website. Real quick, before we do have a special guest coming on the line tonight, goes by the name of Hunted Stacks, representing Baltimore, Maryland. You know how every city has like a, is it B-more? Is that what it says? What it is?
B-more, Bodymore, Murderland.
Okay.
B-more, careful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? B-more,
right.
You know, shout out to B-more. Man, I got a lot of family in B-more. So that's definitely one of my spots. Baltimore is no joke.
Yeah,
Baltimore is
a place that
there's no games
city.
Being played out there.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's
no games
a heavy
being
city.
Played
so
out
for him
there.
For him to be doing his thing and getting that love, because I see he gets a lot of support and love, that's big right there. And I've been –
Almost definitely.
You've
got to be
yeah.
authentic, man. Baltimore ain't letting no – Baltimore's not letting no herbs really come out and shine. So if there's somebody that the streets is loving in Baltimore – or got a following like Hunted Stacks has in Baltimore. They're authentic, man. They definitely going to be authentic people. They're not going to let any bullshit pass.
Not at all. My first only time that I was actually in Baltimore was like, when I was like 17, and it was a beast. And I was out there solo dolo, and it was quite an experience. Baltimore is really. You know, you to come out of there and to make it and do your thing is a big thing. So again, Hunted Stacks coming on the line tonight. He is doing his thing out there, and will be joining us. We're very privileged to have him on the show tonight. Before he does come on the line, however, we do on the show like to talk about the numbers. I didn't get any units for y'all, but we do have a new number one. So I just want to kind of give you guys those little states and facts real quick. Actually, Macklemore, you guys know the thrift shop joint. This is still on the charts, you guys. It's been on here for at least 3 months, I think. Hot 100, R&B hip-hop song, and the number one rap song. They have that number one spot, all three. They're holding all three down. Taylor Swift has I Knew You Were, and she's holding down the pop charts. And then Joe Budden actually has the number one R&B hip-hop album right now, and that's with No Love Lost. Shout out to Joe Budden doing his thing always. Good to see him on the charts, though. What you think? G?
Yo, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You fell off.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I'm glad
it out for a little bit.
what do you think about Joe Budden getting that number one spot for the R&B hip-hop album joint, No Love Lost?
You know, I respect Joe Budden's craft, man. I respect Joe Budden's lyrics. I'm actually, you know, Joe Budden got bars. Joe Budden got a lot of bars. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel I got to stop watching Joe Budden on reality TV so I could just respect his rap game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, no.
Sometimes you see Joe Budden on that TV screen and you like, come on, Joe.
Wow.
What's going on? You know what I'm saying?
What is he? Is he on like a Love and Hip Hop or something like that? Cause I don't.
Yeah, he's on Love and Hip Hop. He's
Love
and Hip Hop, and he got the you know the storyline with his you know new girlfriend storyline with Tahiri.
That's
you know his drug abuse. You know his drug abuse is a main topic of the show, and I like to see stuff like that because it shows him overcoming, you know, his demons and different things like that. But then, you know, they got some parts. You know how they could edit some people.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's all Joe's
a
fault.
Fair representation.
But some shit tends to come off real clownish. Like even Consequence, he's on the show, and Consequence is a rapper that. I respect it because of how he came out of Queens and just really tried to make his name in the game, writing
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people, holding Kanye down for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But even on that show, you know, they tend to clown him.
You
know?
Wow.
And it's a lot of reality TV, you got to be careful. There's some people that have an upside. And you know, once they get on it, boom, they it's going to help their career. Then there's some people that could get on it that don't need the career help and hurt themselves. You know
what I'm saying? Because
Joe
Budden has
been
doing
his
thing.
I just hope that none of these dudes do that.
Right. Nah, Joe Budden's been doing his thing. But I didn't know. Like I said, you know, I don't be watching the reality joint. So it's just interesting because, you know, he has a number one album now. So, I mean, do you think that helped him?
Nah, apparently it's helping.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's helping, you know, like,
yeah, I haven't seen
you know, you got one of the baddest chicks in the game in Tahiri
mm-hmm.
constantly coming back and doing whatever she can for this dude, and now it's on camera, now it's filmed, so, you know, that's interesting in itself. That's going to gravitate people towards Joe Budden in itself, like, yo, it must be something about this guy. She keeps sticking around, you know, for the bullshit. So it's weird,
okay,
Okay,
so they ain't because I didn't know who she was, but I know that, I mean, I didn't know they were dating, you know, I don't know. But I knew of her and kept hearing her name and stuff, so that's where it all comes from, them two. Okay, makes a lot more sense. But shout out to Joe
Budden.
Yeah,
they had their own little web series back in the day
they
were dating. They dated for a long time, so they had their own shit that they used to put
married.
On the internet. Yeah, then they went through a major breakup and back together breakup. And their story pretty much plays out on Twitter, the internet, and now it's on television. So, hope that Joe doesn't lose any real hardcore hip-hop fans because of the antics on the show.
Right.
Because his bars have always been there.
Right. He's been dope from jump. And then I'll go ahead and since I'm... I'll go ahead and hold down the mixtape as well. Actually, I believe Kevin McCall dropped a mixed joint, Definition, I believe was the name. Astro, remember Astro from X Factor? Dead Beats and Lazy Lyrics.
Oh, no doubt. No
you know,
doubt.
Of course, he's a beast. I'm excited to see him, period. All, you know, now and in the future.
Astro is hot.
Yeah,
Astro is hot.
Yeah, he's
only
no
thing
doubt.
That might hurt Astro is that he's so young that...
Mm-hmm.
They might not know what direction to take him, but the kid's bars is grown man. You know what I'm saying? So.
Straight up. And nothing less than, also you got the homie Hell Rel back on the scene. I haven't heard from him really in a minute. Nothing that really just grasped me. He's dope. Streets want to know too. Valentine's Day, okay. You got your boy Rocco. You just spoke about him. Gift of Gab 2. You know, a lot of series coming out. You know what I'm saying? A lot of number twos, number threes.
Yeah.
So I had a Prince got something out as well.
I fucks with Rocco, man.
Yeah, Rocco's
dope. I really
dope.
Like Rocco's shit.
Yeah, I miss him too. Now, when he came out, he did his thing. I wasn't familiar with him underground, but when he came out and to the forefront, I was excited about it. And then Coke Boy brought Blackout 3. So you know, a couple more, I'm sure. I think Birdman dropped one, but I wasn't sure if it was official or not, so I didn't want to announce it, but there is one floating around, Birdman. I think it is. Rich Gang All-Star.
Yeah, the Rich
okay,
Gang.
Okay, yeah,
joint.
That is. Okay. It was just a weird, I said, All-Star, what is he doing right now? But he stays being in the league and whatever he be talking about. Well, we do got another guy that's coming on tonight, another star, another Baltimore representative. It is Hunted Stacks, and we're going to go ahead and drop his single, 100, before he comes on the line with us. And we'll go back on Global 14 Radio Cut with his live one-on-one exclusive.
Give a rough dick till she sweat fucking up perma. Yeah, nigga, that's hood life. Your money up, then that's good life. Hood love, that subs and hoes sucking that wood right. I don't really need a mansion way out in the birds. All I need is a curb and some fucking birds. A steady running, I'ma turn that bitch into the Carter. Have all my niggas driving famous business, business charges. Aston Martin. You know I'm a boss, nigga. And the bros, they love how I floss, nigga. Never been a law, never been a fraud, nigga. No fades, no cut card, nigga. Bitch, niggas, fall back. Hella goons, hella straps. Buster, nigga, head, dub, acting like it. Skin, us, hold up. Trick, please, you. Know who I be, none else, none other, the number one hustler.
All my niggas fellin', be totin' guns and sellin', and we ain't never tellin', that's why we stay chillin', cause all my niggas 100, all my niggas 100. All my niggas fellin', be totin' guns and sellin', and we ain't never tellin', that's why we stay chillin', cause all my niggas 100. All my niggas 100.
Yeah.
already, welcome back to Global 14 Radio The Cut. That was 100 Stacks with 100, so appropriate, referencing the money. And he is live with us right now in G14 Radio The Cut. What is good, 100 Stacks?
What's up? What's good, Golden? What's up, Honest?
Chillin'.
100 Stacks, what's the deal, my brother?
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing, man. We're definitely glad to have you on tonight, man. We're gonna intrude a little bit on your life, man, and talk about the great things you're doing, man. We're excited to have you on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, excited to be here. Intrude all you, man. I put it all out there in the music anyway.
Okay.
That's what it is.
No doubt.
We're going to make it happen right now, then. You know, I'm going to start it off with a few questions and introduce the fan base to my man, 100 Stacks here. Now, we've been saying that you are from Baltimore. Just give us a little bit of background on who 100 Stacks is and a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, I grew up all over Baltimore City. I spent most of my influential years of my life in East Baltimore. And I grew up in the public housing all my life on every side of town. You know, typical hood environment. And, you know, that's pretty much the influence in my life. But, you know,
okay.
Luckily I wasn't one of the ones who wasn't trapped by that.
Indeed. There's I'm very familiar with Baltimore, man. A lot of my family out there. One of my uncles knew damn near everybody out there. Rest in peace, Uncle Perk. But I know that's not an easy environment out there, man. You know, a lot of my family out there, you know, every time going back home, family reunions, different things like that. It's not an easy environment to come from. Definitely glad that you made it out, just like you said. Why don't you describe some of the things that goes on in Baltimore and, you know, how it's a real small area and basically give us a sense of that city, man. What does that city consist of? A lot of people know Baltimore got great seafood, you know what I mean? You got the harbor, you got the Ravens, you got the Orioles, but what's going on in the street in Baltimore?
The things you name, that's where the positive ends now. Hey, like, for this town to be this small, like, the amount of killing that goes on here is phenomenal for the population here. You see, like,
right.
We doing the kind of numbers that a humongous city like New York is doing, where there's millions of people in each borough. You can get to any side of Baltimore City in 10 minutes. This is a very small place. So...
Right.
It's not a happy place. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to word it. Like, it's a real depressing place. It's just like a dark shadow over the city. Like, and that's the attitude you get here from people.
Right.
Like, prime example, like, back when D took me to Atlanta recently, I went to Atlanta for the first time, and, you know, every day, D was, like, checking me, like, yo, you chill. You don't have to, you know, do that down here. Like, people not like that because I'm used to this. This is a real aggressive place. So,
right.
You know, I went to the Waffle House, and a chick sat next to me and started, you know, she claimed my silverware for me. I looked at her like she was crazy. Like, the fuck you touching my, you know, you touching my for? Like, up here, that's something. No, that's disrespectful up here, you know. But he's like, no,
right.
Like, people are just, you know, hospitable here. I'm not used to that. Like, this, like, you had to come to Baltimore to really get the gist of it. But
right.
This is a rough
one. No, I know exactly where you're coming from with that, man. And that's why we definitely wanted to talk about that, because we're going to get into your music and you're going to understand a little bit more on, you know, why 100 Stacks music is the way it is, because it's authentic. A lot of people, you know, hear things, read things, look at movies, and then they jump in the rap game and spit that type of shit on the mic. But you can honestly, you know, hear in his music, and if you understand that place, and like he said, it's small. So when you're doing those big numbers and violent crimes and different things of that nature, you will understand how, like, from those corners out there, man, it's real crazy. And we're going to get into it. But I wanted to know, basically, let's tell the folks where the name 100 Stacks came from and then get into how Baltimore affected your music and how basically you came into music in Baltimore.
All right. Well, the name, my name was just Stacks, because that was just a nickname I just had already. It ain't had nothing to do with music. That was just something some little chick started calling me, and I ran with it. But what happened was when MySpace came out, and I started putting music up. You know, MySpace made it possible to find out, you know, about underground artists. So I started finding a lot of dudes named Stacks all of a sudden. So I needed to like separate myself from them, because I was starting to get, you know, credited for like some whack shit that was out there that wasn't the same, that wasn't me, that was another Stack. So I added 100 on to separate me from that guy.
Is that the guy from Miami?
No, it wasn't him, but I found out about him after this guy. This guy was on some like DVD or something. Like, I was outside hustling or something. Somebody came up to me like, "Yo, you rap?" Like, yeah. He's like, "Oh, what's your name? Stack? Oh, I heard of you. Didn't you have a song called such and such?" I mean, it was like, that shit wasn't all that. I'm like, that ain't me. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I'm like, I need to, you know, I need a little add-on to, you know, distinguish myself.
Most definitely. So when did you get started rapping? About what age did you think that you took on rap serious out in Baltimore?
I didn't get serious until I hooked up with Batman. I was probably like 18 at that time. But I had been like freestyling and writing little raps since I was like 13.
Okay. So you rapping at 13 years old, just freestyling out, and, you know, anybody that comes from any neighborhood knows that, you know, the brothers start freestyling at a young age because we hip-hop fans. We into that, you know. But, like, any hood you grow up in, man, there's dudes that take a turn for the crazy worse, and then there's dudes that, you know, they out there, but, like you said, they got the blessing enough to get saved, not to go completely under. What made you, especially being from public housing, take that turn to where you said, okay, even though I'm out here, I can't go all the way left like a lot of these niggas is going. I got to try to do something better.
It was like a gift that I like kind of just fell into, because I was, like I said, I was 13 in the hood. I was just doing what I seen everybody else around me doing. So I was kind of like trying to find myself, what I am, who I am, and what I do. So my friends was hustling, so I hustled. My friends started freestyling, so I started freestyling. But I just ended up being better than everybody some kind of way. And I was into hip hop anyway. I listened to a lot of the Lox and Jada Kids. That was the guy I listened to come up with ideas and things like that. Jada was my guy there. So I found my thing that made me special.
I wasn't good at basketball.
I wasn't good at, I wasn't even good with girls and shit like that back then. I was good at rapping and selling drugs. But selling drugs don't take really no skill.
Right.
So, and it just took over me. And eventually, the more time I spent rapping, I just began to forget about other things.
Indeed. And for all the listeners out there, when you're listening to Hunter, you know, tell his story, understand that that's what it takes. It takes for a young person to realize their special qualities, and a lot of people don't see it. Like, you know, I got a homie that can draw his ass off. I mean, look at something and draw it to the utmost, shading and all of that. But he's the same cat that will pull two guns out and start shooting in a open environment in daytime. And people always try to tell him, like, look, fam, you got a gift, but he don't really think that could take him nowhere, and he used to being who he is. So, you know, I just want to congratulate Hunted for basically knowing and recognizing that, you know, I got a special talent. Maybe I should see where this could take me, because when you're in these type of environments, a lot of people try to take that, oh, you know, he doing his own thing over there. You know, he ain't really trying to be out here with us like we out here. But, you know, if they really your people, they would encourage you, yo, do your thing, man. See where that could take you. Try to get up out of here. So I'm glad to hear that happened for you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And once
now,
I started,
once
I embraced it and started putting the effort there, like, things just started to fall in line. Like, it was definitely something divine at play to get me where I am right now.
Right.
But I
and
had
we're going
to
get to that because we're going to get to a place that you're at right now, because you had a great story that just happened the other day, and that's going to come a little bit later on in the interview. But not to cut you off, but I did want to ask you, you said, you know, your gift kind of separated you from the other cats that was freestyling and trying to rap. What do you think made you original or special? Did you have a hook for the melodies? Did you just, you know, have a talent to make hooks or the rap? What made you original and stand out from everybody else around you that was trying to rap?
Because back then, just like today, like, everybody was trying to sound like what was hot at the time. See, I wasn't the song maker back then. Now, back then, I was the more like your Cassidy or those type of guys back then. So, they was caught up on them punchlines I could hit. Like, dudes wasn't popular yet. Like, cause Cassidy wasn't around yet. So, doing that wasn't the thing to do. So, it was still something exciting to hear back then. So, that's what, like, drew everybody's attention to me and less, you know, toward everyone else.
Right.
The song making thing came later when I met Beck.
Yeah, we're going to get into Beck, man, because we also know Beck is awesome artist out of Baltimore, too, and that's your crew, you know, Black Boy. And I hear a lot of stuff from y'all that's really dope, man, and I definitely wanted to get into that. Before we get into that, which is coming up next, I just wanted to basically see, as far as you rapping in Baltimore when you started, and you said, you know, you started at 13, but you really got serious around 18 years old when you met Backland in that Backland's camp. How did people gravitate to you? Did they find you, or were you going around the city trying to show everybody that, you listen, I'm the man at this, check me out? Were people just hearing about you because you was in one area just doing your thing?
I went out and I went to the people. I utilized the internet, you know. MySpace was still new, so people were still, you know, were still clicking on stuff back then. So I utilized that, and then I had, you know, a lot of friends I met in the hip-hop communities who had resources for me to use to, you know, expose myself to the public.
That's
so
what it
really,
is. So
I just dropped some, like, I would just drop songs on MySpace to kind of test the waters, trying to find my niche musically, what I was going to be, because I was, mm-hmm. you know, transforming from the freestyle guy to the song-making guy. So I had to find my niche in that. So I would drop a song, get some feedback, drop a song, get some feedback, and once it started to feel right, I start performing. Then I just, like, boot camp with Backman for a couple of years, and then I did a mixtape.
Now, that's nice. That's nice. For all our listeners, man, you know, everybody that listens to our show, honey, they always compliment us that, you know, you guys, you know, you definitely be having a lot of lessons. We appreciate that. A lot of jewels being dropped. And I want to make sure that they're catching it for what your story that you're telling, because basically you took the advantage of the internet and what it gives you, and dropping songs, like you said, testing the waters. Like, a lot of people scared to put their music out, scared of the comments that people are all going to write. But you got to understand, once you're getting listened to is what you really need to look at it. Like, who's listening to me? How many people are commenting? 20 people commenting, that means 20 people are listening to you. So if you continue to consistently drop music, drop something, just know you're gaining an audience. You know what I'm saying? So listen to those nuggets that he's giving you. Don't sit in one place and think somebody's going to find you. Use the internet. Go to different places. You think song is hot, go try to perform it in front of some people. Have some people tell you it's hot in front of your face. Definitely appreciate that lesson right there, honey, because that's something that a lot of people fail to realize, is that you got to move around. You got to move around and see what people you know, think about your craft. Now, let's get into the Backland and the Block Boy camp. Did they find you or you find them?
Backland found me through Mutual Homeboy.
Okay. And is he from the same neighborhood as you are?
Well, I grew up over East. Backland from up the Junction, but I used to hang around up the Junction a lot.
Okay.
That's on the west side.
And give a little bit of background on Backland and let people know who he is, as far as who he is to you and what he's doing in Baltimore.
Well, for those who don't know, Backland is the 106 Park Hall of Fame champion. You might remember his famous line, "Back to your block." And, you know, he had a great run on one. He had, man, I ain't even gonna be modest. Backland had the best run on Freestyle Friday ever. Like, if you go look him up on YouTube, you know, it'll come back to you. But he had, like, the best 7 weeks I've ever seen him have on Freestyle Friday. So after that, you know, he had label after label coming for him, trying to, you know, sign him, whatever. But in the process of, I guess, politicking and making his decision, he was at the club in D.C. with, I think he was with J.D. in D.C. at Dream. It was Dreams back then. And when he was leaving, he got hit by a car. So that left him in the hospital for like a year, some change. And he had to, you know, recover and make his way back into music. So what ended up happening was, while he was recovering, that's when me and him linked up. And that's how I ended up a part of Block Boy Music.
That's dope. That's dope. And that's a dope story. Like, I didn't even know about the accident, but, you know, I definitely knew about the 106 Apart joint, and that he was doing his thing. But, you know, shouts out to homie, man, because he definitely came back strong for that. I didn't even know that part of the story. But so when you linked up with him, and he's back on his feet, now it's Block Boy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's the camp. All right, now when y'all link up, he's a big figure in Baltimore. You're a big figure out there as far as getting it in, rap game. Y'all ready to smash out. What's your plan of attack when you link up with him? Because I know you're thinking now, okay, we got to take this to the next level. And I know he's thinking that because he just recovered from something serious after a great run on a national television show. What was your mind state when you linked up with them?
Well, when I first linked up, it was really about really getting Backman caught up, because he had been out of the game for so long, and then things had changed. This is when the game changed over to the internet versus, you know, the traditional way of doing things. So we had to, like, learn that and, like, kind of make it up as we go along. So it's like, usually when you're the first guy doing something, you're going to be the one to make all the mistakes, which has been a big part of, like, the holdup of getting Backman back to his original status before the accident. Because we had to learn this internet thing, and it's like the games is just constantly changing. The way you promote, the way you get to a listener, where, you know, how to get around the this oversaturated, you know, underground scene now, because everybody's a rapper now. Like, everybody and their mother's a rapper now. And we just been maneuvering some kind of, you know, we've been staying ahead of everybody else, but we still moving and shaking. And now I think we got a firmer grip on it now than we did when we originally started.
That's what's up. And like, again, people that's listening, just take in this whole finding the niche, exploring the trends, whatever's new is going on that is going to get your music to the masses, you have to know these things. There are examples out there that we speak of that are few and far in between of something miraculous happening and somebody just getting a deal. Don't follow or think that's your role. Study, just like you would in school. What's going on? How do I get to the most people? What are people doing? What's the next thing that's coming up? Hop on that. And
that's what you guys did. That's how I ended up on Global 14, because I was looking for that new. I was like, I got to find out what's going to be the next big social thing before it's the big social thing.
Right. And that's so that I can't even express how smart of a tactic that is. There's so many things that come out here. And the one thing that a lot of people don't realize, well, they do realize it, but they ignore it, is how saturated this game is. I'm in it, you know what I'm saying, as far as having my own production company and have to try to find new ways to get to different people, because I don't lose sight of how saturated this game is. And like you said, everybody and their mother is trying to do this. So you got dudes in the streets of Baltimore, you got dudes in the streets of New York, you got dudes in the streets of Atlanta, Florida, wherever, trying to do the same thing you're doing. So when we have people like Hunter Stacks on our show, it shows you that, damn, these cats are maneuvering in some sort of way where they linking up with the right people. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to get into something big that he did a couple weeks back that got him news recognition. And that stuff is big because, remember, he's telling you he's from the public housing. And when his journey is going to a certain another level, it's going to be because of steps that he's taking. And I just want the listeners to not only just be listening like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Listen to what the guy is saying, because there's nuggets in here for everybody to be using in their career. I don't give a damn if you sell T-shirts, shoes, whatever. There's always something new that can connect you to the masses, and you need to be looking for it. But another question that I have is about how you get to the masses, because you got like 19,000 fan followers on Twitter. And when I see your followers, they interacting with you. I know a lot of people be out there buying followers. Yours is definitely not bought because I see how they speak to you. How you maneuvering on Twitter and getting your music out in this Twitter sphere? And what do you think about Twitter?
Like, I jumped on it before everybody else. Like, people, that's been the key to the majority of my success. One, you got to get on things before everybody else get up on it. And then you got to learn how to use it in ways that other people don't know how to use it.
Thank you.
You got to stand out.
I'm sorry.
Hello?
I'm sorry. It was Amen Corner over here. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay. What was I saying? Oh, you got to, like, be able to stand out on these social networks. You got to talk to people, get them to build relationships with people, show some interest in what they're doing. You can't be just selfish and trying to, you know, swamp people with what you got going on and show no interest in what they got going on. You become friends and, you know, they will share your product with their friends, and it starts like a chain reaction. And the other advantage I have is just plain old quality of music. So I retain more listeners than the majority of my competitors. You know, when I put a song out, it touches a person on a deeper level as opposed to the guy across the street who put one out. They might think it's all right, but it ain't all that. So when they hear mine, they become a real fan, and they want other people to become real fans. They are passionate. They become passionate about seeing me make it. Like, when you see me talk to people on Global 14, they are passionate about seeing me succeed, and I show that same love back.
I think a lot of people need to understand the definition of social networking. I mean, the first word in it is social. That's a big key that people have to realize, and that what Hunted knows off rip. You have to speak to people, and it don't got to be about what you got going on. You just vibe with people, you know what I'm saying? And then you become either friends or have a certain type of respectful personal relationship with that person. When they tell you to listen to something, it could be a month down the line. Your ears are going to be open in a whole new way because now you fuck with that person. You deal with that person on a different level. They didn't just was like, hey, buy this, check me out, do this, do this. So, like I said, this dude is definitely very smart on how he does things because you have to be genuine. It can't be check me out, check me out, because everybody want to be checked out. Everybody knows this, but you definitely got to understand social networking.
You got to turn the rapper off and be a person.
Right. Who are you first? Why am I listening to your music? Why do I want to listen to your music? I talked to my man the other day. Prime example. It was my man and my homegirl. And I remember just this dude came up to us at the table because he knew what I do around town. And he was a rapper. He was a young rapper. And when he left the table, we just kept talking like, yo, remember when it was cool to tell people that you rapped? And like young girls, the girls your age, it was, oh, you can rap. Spit something for me. Spit something. Now you tell somebody you can rap. And they be like, oh, you're another rapper. Another nigga trying to rap. You know what I'm saying? Another nigga think he got be dreaming his way to be famous. And now they associate that with a broke hustling nigga or some cat that just don't want to get a real job. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy to me that it has gotten to be to that point because it used to be a gift that somebody had.
Right.
It used to be like, damn, this brother can put words together like this to make me love this song like that. Oh, he's the shit. Now it's just like, oh, this nigga coming with this shit. Nah, man, everybody trying to be a fucking rapper, you know? So,
that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's a real sad thing that's going on, especially when you have talented people out there that really need to be heard. And I'm glad you mentioned all of this stuff about really getting to know. Yeah, I can bet. I'm dealing with it every day. You know what I'm saying? But this is why we have this show. So we have brothers like you on, like, even though it's frustrating, you're still pursuing it, and you're pursuing it in the right way. So anybody out there that's listening and you're not doing it this way, or you handling your business in another way, nobody's saying that's the wrong way, but maybe you want to add this to your repertoire too. See if this changes something you got going on. Because I guarantee you, when you know people and they fuck with you, then you let them know what you got going on. You're going to get a whole different response, especially if your shit is hot. So that leads me into this question, man. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Every time somebody comes to, like, visit me in my studio, that's the first thing I do. Boy, you on Facebook, you crazy. Boy, them people be blah, blah, blah. Because I don't sit on there posting music all day. I communicate, and I get people into who I am. And then I drop a song here. Hey, check that out, by the way. And go, that's how you, you can't look like every other rapper online, or you're going to get treated like every other rapper online.
Period. You just think about it. If anybody listening, y'all got Facebook accounts. Y'all know when all them promoters be hitting your event page with all them damn parties and flyers and shit. Like, you stop listening. You stop looking at half of that shit. Like, oh, another nigga got another party on Friday night. Oh, this nigga got a party. How many parties this nigga gonna have this week? You know what I'm saying? Like, when that shit constantly coming to your inbox and your events, you like, God damn, they flooding you. Well, imagine how many people is putting music up. And now you putting your music up. You think you the first nigga that I'ma scroll down, but you probably the 80th nigga that I done passed by his SoundCloud link. So when I get to that shit, I'm probably not even gonna try to listen to it. But if I fuck with you and I know you, and you's a cool cat and we be talking on it, when you drop something, I'm definitely going to listen to it because I fucks with you. And let me see what he dealing with. Let me see what he got going on. So understand, that's the same thing as putting out anything, is how many people can vouch for you as the type of person you are. Because remember, just a few minutes ago, we said that rapper tag, that'll get the, man, get your ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't cool just to leave with, hey, I rap, check me out. You might want to find another method. But then let's get into the challenges that you face. You're a prominent underground artist in your city. And I know other artists out there in Baltimore, they can't stand, ah, these niggas in Baltimore, the radio is garbage. Niggas won't play my shit, niggas be hating. I remember your man came out of Baltimore with the Jefferson's hook on the joint. The whoa now, we finally got a piece. I'll never forget when I went to Baltimore to visit my people. They were hating that that nigga got his chance, man.
That's funny because two nights ago I was with somebody from Houston, right? And they were saying, mm-hmm. man, I was down there, I was bumping your music, and I was telling people like, man, this is the type. I was bumping your music, I was bumping KG, I was bumping this guy, you know, the guys from here who nice but really don't get the radio play. So I'm
right.
like, hey. She said, do you know how frustrating it is to go out of town and the only song people know is Whoa Now?
Whoa now.
That's why it's funny you said that, because they just said that the other day.
Yo, I'm telling you right now, kid, when they say Baltimore, they think of the Whoa Now joint, you know, the old bums in the video dancing to the little Jefferson sample. We finally got a piece of the pie, but I remember when I was down there, and my man was like, well, my cousin, I call him J3, in Baltimore, wild dude, you know, he popped in this Boss Man. And when I first heard Boss Man joints, I was like, yo, who is this guy? I'm feeling this joint right here. I remember the beat he had on this one joint was so crazy. And I was like, oh, man, that track is crazy. But I had never heard from him.
Boss Man a rapping motherfucker?
Yeah, Boss Man was getting it in. When I was out there, I was like, yo, this nigga, he hot. But nobody would have heard of him from outside of Baltimore unless you've been there. And then I start following him and trying to check him out, and I see that he was in a little beef with Wale, and, you know, a lot of people respected what he was doing out there. But give us some of the challenges that you go through being an underground artist out there, a prominent one, like the radio spinning you out there, is the club showing you love, what's going on?
The problem out here is it's this vicious cycle out here. Like, people, like I said, this is a real depressed city. People don't like getting their hopes up for shit. And because we had a couple artists who almost made it and then didn't, Boss Man was one of them, it's like, man, I'm not getting my hopes up for this shit no more. And they won't take you seriously as an artist unless you on the radio. But the radio won't play you unless the club's playing it. But the clubs won't play it unless the people talking about it. So it's like you need somebody got to give in. So what I had to do, I got to work extra hard. I got to do something, you know, unexpected to get people's attention. I got to almost beat people. I had to get like 300 and something people to call a radio station to get a song played. I had to get their Twitter, like, completely flooded for them to play a song when Wale can get one request and they play it. That's the type of stuff I got to
play that song
in Baltimore. Now, if I go somewhere else, different story. I like that. Where can I get that? I want to play that. I want to do this. I want to do this for you. I want to. Just give it to me. That's the attitude everywhere else. But here, you got to jump through a hoop of fire and, you know, tame a lion and all kinds of just get a little bit of sleep.
They want you to do all types of bullshit.
Like, particularly these club DJs. I'll tell you, give you a perfect example. DJ Pose will be playing my song on the radio, but but he wants to go out in the street and build a buzz around this particular record first. So I said, cool, I'll follow your lead. He says, come to my parties, bring some people when I put your record on, make a scene, you know, get some attention on the record. So we doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. He never plays the record. He just always doing something else. So I'm like, all right, if I go through all this with one DJ, I'm going to have to go through all this with every single one of them. And I need all of these DJs playing the song. Like, it's no way possible I can get this done. That's just too much to do. I say, I can't, like, every rapper cannot be going through this. So what happened was, while I was in Atlanta, we heard Trinidad James. Like, he was just starting to pop off. And we heard Young Scooter down there. So we riding back to Baltimore, back like, I bet you money when we get back, all of them going to be playing this Young Scooter record. I said, all right, get back. Sure enough, they playing it. Oh, yep. We got this new joint, Young Scooter, Columbia. I said, all right, so did Young Scooter come to all y'all parties and pop bottles and do all that extra shit, or y'all just played it? Now everybody got a bunch of excuses. That's crazy to me. I'm from here. Young Scooter don't live here. He don't know y'all.
We never know shit about y'all.
Yeah, man, Young Scooter don't know none of y'all.
About it. You know, the funny thing about it is that happens in a lot of cities, man. You know, and you don't know it until you're in it. That's the same shit out here in the O. Same shit out here, niggas. My man out in Tennessee be saying the same shit. There's only a couple of markets that really break music. The other stations are what they consider bleed-over stations. And they just get what Atlanta say is hot, what New York say is hot, or what Texas say is hot. And the crazy thing, people always say Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta's a different breed because they'll take a record from the dirt and go tell somebody to clean it up just so they could play it on the radio. And that's why you have so many dudes that may have a one-hit wonder. But by the time they finish touring Georgia and those little southern states, they had made about $200,000 because they cleaned that one record up and got to go off that one record. Your man with the racks on racks, you ain't see him no more. Nobody know where he at. Your people rich kids with the My Partner them. When that record came on, I was like, really? This joint right here? I found myself 2 weeks later screaming that shit when I heard that shit out here. Like, it's just different in those areas. So I come across artists that always have those frustrations. And one thing, I can't stand how these club DJs are getting, man, because they starting to think that they're label DJs. If you're not signed... I told the DJ the same shit the other day because I represent an artist. We go through the same shit. The nigga's trying to tell me that he got to make sure that the record is hot. We sent him the record. The record, well, he was like, yo, this shit's hot. So I was like, so we shouldn't have to be in the club to hear that you spent this joint. Nah, I'm a rock with that. But you know, that's my livelihood right there. If there's any DJ that's a club DJ on this line right now, and we ever meet, and you say something about your livelihood right there, insinuating that you want some money for me to give you to play a record in the club, just don't do it. I'm the wrong nigga for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't getting a dollar for me. Because there's certain people that's supposed to do that shit. You give payola to a certain person for a result. A club DJ supposed to play a record that'll make people ass shake in the club. Mm-hmm. That's your job. The club is paying you. What mm-hmm. the hell I look like paying you? The club mm-hmm. is paying you to make people move. So if you like the song and the song makes people move, you're supposed to try to break it in your club so that you can be like, I heard this joint in this club from this DJ. That's the first one I heard it from. I think club DJs is getting mixed up. Like, you're supposed to be the guy to get for what? Why? The establishment is paying you. Why am I paying you? And that's what's fucking up the urban game. So I understand exactly what you're saying. It shouldn't even be like that. But unfortunately, niggas got to pay their rent. Niggas is in the club, so they trying to get them extra dollars in their pocket. What they doing is stifling real artists out there, stifling real talent. If you want to be like Atlanta, follow Atlanta. Atlanta DJs, they will rock your shit. You go up in the strip club, they like your shit, they'll play your shit. So I understand exactly where 100 Stacks is coming from. I just had to put that little nugget in there because I just went through that same shit. Money trying to tell me that's his livelihood. Okay, what you trying to tell me? The club don't pay you?
No, that's definitely whack right there. And Hunter Stacks is actually, he's going to come back on the line in a second. He is on off right now because we want to drop while we have everybody's attention. Again, just so everybody's listening, this is, again, G14 Radio, Global 14 Radio, via The Cut, via Jermaine's Dupree. Social networking site global14.com, and we're actually in a play. Him and Backland, he spoke on them. A kid and play joint. I thought that was very clever and it was exciting. So we're going to go ahead and drop that and be back with the rest of the interview with 100 Stacks on G14 Radio. The Cut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Lock, boy. Work. You know they say sharing is caring, baby. Show us how much you care about us. You need
work. My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say.
Work.
Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today.
Work.
She ain't talking pussy,
work.
Don't look a nigga way.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Catch me dancing in that pussy.
That pussy.
Kid and play,
this is what we do, nigga.
We
watching them
hoes. Kid and play.
From the first
time
that I met her,
I knew that I was gon' set her.
But will she let the crew hit?
I guarantee she gon' let her. See, baby girl, will go better. And she know I'm getting that cheddar.
Uh-huh.
Plus, when it come to real niggas, ain't nobody here better.
Nah.
So I'm gonna do what I do best.
Yeah.
Sent the whistle with you text.
Yeah.
You fine as hell and you cute, yes.
Yeah.
But is you done with that group set?
Yeah.
She say she got that deep throat and her juice box get too wet.
Mm.
And now I'm dancing in that pussy. Bitch, check out my two step. You know the way that my crew rap. We fuck a bitch in your hoop net. So gonna bring your girl through. We share her like we share you. Don't care about your hairdo.
Nah.
Don't care about your makeup.
Nah.
Cause once you at my house party, all we do is straight fuck. You won't be around when I wake up.
Nah.
No girlfriends and no date stuff.
Nah.
And them double D's and them A cups. We take them all if they straight fuck. Won't be around when I wake up.
Nah.
No girlfriend and no day stuff.
Nah.
And them double D's and them A cups. We take them all if they straight fuck.
Yo,
work. My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say.
Work.
Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today.
Work.
She ain't talking pussy.
Work.
Don't look a nigga way.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Yeah.
Me dancing in that pussy.
That pussy.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Yeah. We tag team them hoes.
What?
Kid and play.
Bought me one of them hood hoes. Yeah, you know what I'm good for. I'm the bait. Reel her in, then get her gone on that good smoke. She think I'm fly, she say I'm cute. I crack a smile, I say you too. We drinkin', drinkin', we smokin', smokin'. Next thing you know, that booty loose. I threw the cakes back to the face, ran through that hoe. Shit, relay race. I'm Road Dogg and that's Billy Guns. If you a freak, bitch, give me some. We turned up, we having fun. Broke niggas ain't having none. We turned up, having fun.
Broke niggas ain't having none.
Kick your heels two times, then you kid and play. Money get you any pussy, fuck what bitches say. I got a pocket full of guap, she got a Section 8. She be a fool not to let a nigga penetrate.
Work, work,
her booty fucks by Nerf. I give a dick till she squirt. I give a dick till she jerk. She give me head till I burst. Then give my homie the same thing. It's an invite to them biz nights. Come try that block, boy, gang bang.
Work.
My niggas ain't shit, that what these bitches say.
Work.
Met her last night, trying to fuck that bitch today.
Work.
She ain't talking pussy.
Work.
Don't look a nigga way.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Yeah. Me dancing in that pussy.
That pussy.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
Kid and play.
Work.
We tag team them hoes.
Ooh.
Kid and play.
Work.
Alrighty, welcome back to Global 14 Radio Cut. 100 Stacks, Kid and Play, Golden Season, 100 Back on the Line Live. I love that song. My favorite part is work.
That's a dope joint right there.
That's a dope joint.
And let the people know that Kid Christopher Reed, the original Kid from Kid and Play, actually tweeted that joint out, you know what
he
I'm
did.
Saying, retweeted that joint and said how solid it was and let y'all know that it wasn't no whack rap. So that's big right there. We actually had a Kid on the show as well. I hung out with that dude out here in Orlando. Such a cool cat, man. And that's big right there. He tweeted that joint right. Y'all need to listen to this. This is shit.
Yeah, he's dope, man. I really enjoy him. And
I had a few encounters with like rappers or celebrities, but that was one of those moments where I was like, God damn, Kid tweeted my man. I was talking about that a little bit.
I know.
I was a house party fool when I was little.
Yeah.
Who was it, man? Them movies was the shit right there. So, yeah, he was on. If you didn't get a chance to hear the show, he was on our show a little while ago, man. He gave some real good insight on how, you know, him and Play came up and what was the challenges for them. So, you know, there's always some different things going on, but we're going to get back into this 100 Stacks interview. That was just a Kid and Play joint, sick joint. And if you're not familiar with 100 Stacks, make sure you get with him and listen to all the music he got. He got some heat. You know, make sure you download his last mixtape. Where could they? You got a website popping right now, honey, where they could basically go see everything you got.
I got a blog with everything on it. Go to 100stacks.blogspot.com, and that's 100 spelled H-U-N-I-T. Stacks is spelled STACKZ.blogspot.com. And every link to me on any social media site, any download I got available, everything is all on that blog.
There you go right there, so make sure you check that out. And now we're going to get into a story, man, that, you know, I definitely want to talk about on this call. Basically, we just let you know, how 100 Stacks is from basically a rough spot, rough area, Baltimore, Maryland, straight out the housing projects, you know what I'm saying? And once you listen to the type of music they do, you understand that's the environment that they come from. But still, everybody definitely are still human. Still human beings with hearts, you know what I'm saying, people that realize big-time tragedies that are going on in the United States and abroad. You know, we're not blind to this stuff. And recently, 100 Stacks, you did a tribute for the Sandy Hook shooting and all the kids that were killed. And I know that devastated me when I heard that news. I know that shook the core of some ultimate thug niggas that I know. I talked to him about it. So explain when you heard that and you heard that news, how you felt, and then what made you just have to say, listen, man, I got to do a song about this.
Yeah, well, what a lot of people don't know about me is when I'm not doing the music thing, I volunteer at neighborhood elementary school. You know, I go and help out, you know, the principal with getting the kids out the hallway, keeping them from hooking. And I've become like, I've grown a strong bond with the children in the neighborhood and become like a mentor to them. So when I heard about somebody killing a bunch of children that young, like the only faces I saw in my head were the faces of the children I deal with in the schools. So I couldn't imagine that happening to them. Me knowing them personally, knowing their families, knowing their struggles, and to have somebody kill them, it just blew me away. And then the kids who actually got killed at Sandy Hook are younger than the children I deal with. They little babies. They 7 years old and under.
Right.
Like, they are completely innocent. They haven't even done anything bad. Like, so I just couldn't take that quietly. I needed a vent. It touched me on like a personal level, as if one of my children got taken away. I got children of my own that age. So
right.
I just thought I had to get that out. But I'm not in Connecticut. I couldn't go drive across town and give a parent a hug or something, so I needed to voice it. I needed to vent. So I wrote the song, and after I wrote the song, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do no real big, like, promotional campaign behind like I do with one of my usual singles, because so many rappers make songs when things happen. It's become corny. It's like they're doing it
right
for fame, when I actually genuinely felt that way. And I didn't want to be mistaken as one of those guys. So I posted it quietly for a couple people on Facebook, for a couple people on Global 14, and then I left it alone. But another guy here who's like a studio engineer and a well-known rapper here, he hit me up about the song. He was like, yo, I feel that song. You need to get that out there, like, really. And I explained to him why I didn't want to do that. But he was like, yo, don't worry about that. This needs to be heard. Like, this is deep. This is touching. You need to go all the way with this. You should do a video, too. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do all that, because I don't want it to get, you know, taken the wrong way. So once the Super Bowl came around and I saw the kids singing at the Super Bowl, I was like, I'm going to just go ahead and take this on the chin. If people going to hate, they're going to hate. I know my message is genuine. God knows it's genuine, and I hope these parents know it's genuine. So I'm going to just go ahead and take it on the chin. So the guy, Ogon Shock, thanks to Ogon and Jay Supreme, they put the video together, and they started, you know, using their networks to, you know, spread it around. And it somehow came across this lady at Fox 45 who called Ogon to get in contact with me about an interview. So I was actually at a funeral at the time. I was at my cousin's funeral, and after the funeral, I went and did the interview with her, and they aired on Fox 45 News a few days ago.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And it's, I understand you completely, what you're saying about, you know, Kat saying, okay, y'all, boom, like, yo, we're going to do a song for that, because that's getting a lot of views on the web right now, so we can capitalize on that, you know. I get that totally, man. When the Trayvon Martin situation happened, a lot of people don't know. Like, I live in that neighborhood. Like, I pull my blinds back, and I'm looking where dude body Trayvon. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in that exact neighborhood, and one of my boys that rhyme around here, he lived right around the corner. So he decided to do a joint, and we produced it for him. And that was genuinely coming from us, because we was right there. We live here, and I actually live in the neighborhood. So that was a crazy time. But you saw people commenting on different people's joints that did it. And when we were actually like, we from here. We live right around here. We live in the neighborhood. People were like, oh, it's crazy, it's crazy. Oh, man, I know that's crazy for y'all. So, you know, it is a respect that, you know, some people will give you, and then other people just going to hate. But like your man said, nah, it needs to be heard. And as long as you knew it was genuine, then put it out there. And I don't think it's any mistake that the news lady found you. And it came across her, because once you put something out that's genuine and you're doing it from the heart, somebody going to feel it somewhere. And I think that's what happened with your joint.
Since my meeting with her, like, a lot of people at that news station have been reaching out to me. Like, they are, like, touched by the video, and they have nothing but, you know, kind things to say. So I feel like I made the right decision at the end of the day. And I just hope it reaches
right.
Connecticut at some point.
Well, most definitely, man. I think that's huge. And I definitely wanted to just mention that. And also just to show a side of, you know, we human. We all human. There's going to be things that affect you. There's going to be things that doesn't affect you. I think a lot of these guys, they get into rap, you know, they get what I call they rapper starter kit, you know, some a nice little chain, you know, some name brand clothes, a fitted, and they get on the video and start rapping, and they got to be the hardest looking guys ever wherever they go. And, you know, if you know anything about the realest rappers out there, whether it was from Pac you know, to Big. These dudes was emotional dudes. These dudes was dudes that actually went through different things and had sides to them. You know what I'm saying? So the guys that come out that act like, you know, they don't have no other sides to them, their personality can't be real, that's not real. You feel me? Anybody that's real understands all sides of everything. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you did, because that's your cat that's in your hood that's looking up to you. That's like, yo, 100 stacks fell for them kids, so you did that song.
Yeah, the response has been tremendous. Like, people have been calling and texting and posting on my page constantly. So I'm glad that they took it the way it was supposed to be taken. And like I told the couple of people who posted saying I'm trying to make money off the song is free. I did it for absolutely nothing but a vent, because I felt some kind of way. I could relate to a situation as a parent if I lost my child like that.
Right. No, I could dig it 100%, man. Don't worry about the haters. We glad you did it. It is getting the recognition it deserved because you did it from the heart, and that's what's up. I also wanted to talk to you about majors, major artists, major labels. Being that you're a prominent Baltimore artist, have you worked with any major artists on labels? Have you got any collaborations with anybody that's in the game?
Oh, I got something in the works that I want to, like, speak on it till it's confirmed. I don't want to jinx it.
Okay. Now that sounds
nothing
good. Okay, okay. Well, what do you think about major labels? Being that, you know, the whole Block Boy is a self-contained, independent force out there in B-More, have you ever been approached by a major, or how do you feel about them, period?
I'm still open to doing business with a major label. I would love to spend someone else's money. I'm tired of spending my own.
No, that's right.
I hear that.
I've had a few people reach out, want to do different things. Nothing really worth discussing at the moment.
Right. Well, I also know that you have some joints on MTV.com. Explain how you got hooked up with that, because having a joint on MTV.com is pretty dope. And I think you had a few joints on that site, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. To be honest, what I do is, because I'm my own everything, rapper, promoter, engineer, like, I'm just a one-man band, I constantly Google myself to see who's, posting something about me, or so I can share it and, you know, get people to check out their site and, you know, start building a relationship with whatever that site is. So I was sitting here, you know, watching football one day, and I was Googling, and it was there. Like, just like that. I was like, I don't know how it got there.
No.
I was like,
but
oh,
it was there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Ah, man, that's a big time jewel right there. Yo, just put yourself out there.
First,
put yourself out there. You never know who grabbed.
Like, this some other MTV or something. This somebody with some. This stand for my television.com or something. This ain't music television. But it was legit. So I'm like, well, shit, I don't got no argument.
Hell nah. Hell nah, man. That's real dope. And that's what happens when you work. You know, everybody that listens to our show know we always promote that work. You know, Onyx and I, we going out, you know, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Social Death. But, you know, at some points out there, we're going to be working. Got to keep working. You know, never stop working and get the brand out there and keep it moving. Now, let's talk about current projects that you got going on now. We know you just... you had dropped a mixtape recently. Are you working on another tape, or you working on a different phase of your career right now? What you got going on?
I'm working on another mixtape. The main focus right now is that Kid in Place thing. I'm trying to get some DJs behind it, some influential DJs who can, you know, influence these the little retarded ones I was telling you about earlier. And
That's my main focus right now, getting this Kid and Play record as far as I can possibly take it. And
Okay, cool. Yeah, so everybody that's listening, go check out that Kid and Play record, man. Share that with as many people as you can. It's a dope record. Like, you know, I just told you, the original Christopher Kid Reed even shared it. So if he could share it, you know you could share it. So go check Honey Stacks' Twitter out. Go check his blog spot out and share that record, man. It's a dope record. Shout out to Backland. That's definitely a dope joint. So I'm going to ask you the question that every artist get asked, man. You know, you got to throw in that that cliche joint. Like, where do you see your career, man, in like 5 years from now? I hate asking that shit, but at the same time, different people give different answers that could provide insight. So I have to throw it in there. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see you willing yourself in that amount of time?
I'm willing myself. At first, I saw myself being in the game. Now I just got something on my spirit that's saying I'm going to be that number one guy. I'm going to be that 50. I'm going to be that Kanye. I'm going to be that guy. Don't ask me how, but I just feel that on my spirit for some reason. I just be happy to get in, but I feel like I'm gonna get all the way there because my music is just constantly changing. It's constantly getting stronger. I'm not losing anything. I'm getting better.
That's what it is right there. So you gotta believe in yourself, man. That self belief is huge. You know. People come up to me all the time like, yo, I can't believe Lil B is in the game and got as many fans as he got. I can't believe Chief Keef is killing it. Like, this nigga music is whack and this and that. And I always tell people, man, them guys believe in they self, man. They're not worried about what you're saying way over here. They don't even hear it. They believe in they self. And once they believe in they self and consistently just drop and drop and drop. It could be garbage after garbage after garbage, but somebody is fucking with it.
Yep.
And that's why people are reaching out to them. That's why they're doing sold-out shows. Somebody somewhere is liking this shit. It's just like they say, yo, there's a person for you out there everywhere. You know, a dude may not be the most attractive dude out in the world, but what your moms tell you or what somebody else, there's something out there for everybody. You're going to find you something. There's something out there. Same with girls, guys. Whatever situation it is, don't think that your shit can't pop. Like, I be telling people all the time over my music opinion, because I'm dealing with music, that musically I don't think your stuff was up to par. That don't mean that the next man won't be a fan of yours.
Yeah.
So believe in yourself.
The rappers who like really just get, like, they say stuff to me like, yo, I'm just trying to get where you at. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And me, I'm so humble about where I am musically. Like, I haven't even fully realized how far I went. And
right.
I did it by myself. The radio wasn't backing me up like they was backing up Boss Man and Be Rich and all them. They was not supporting me at all. The DJs, they wasn't supporting me. I found a way to dominate without them. So I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Patrick. So it's always people on the outside looking in that could tell you how far you've come, because sometimes when you're in the trench, you don't see it. You don't see it because you just used to doing it. And then they'd be like, yo, did you realize you done did this, 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 and that? And you'd be like, well, goddamn, I did do that shit, didn't I?
Yeah, like people call, my mother, she do it all the time. She said, you're not excited? Like, you're not? I said, no, because I'm just in my mode. I'm working. I'm trying to get over there. I ain't even worried about right here. But
yeah.
I need to stop sometime and really, you know, thank God for this blessing, for giving me what I need to be self-sufficient.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I got tremendous respect for what you got going on, man. I'm a fan of your music. You know we gonna work on something together pretty soon, and I just want you to keep going, man. I know the area, you know what I'm saying, that y'all boys come from. It ain't easy out there. You feel what I'm saying? So to see you doing what you're doing, to see Batman doing what he's doing, and y'all really trying to do it the right way, I commend y'all brothers, man, and I wish y'all nothing but success. I know Honest got a few questions for you, you know what I'm saying? So I want to bring her back on, but much success, man, much success. And, you know, we definitely going to have you give out all your information before you get off the line and let anybody know, let everybody know how they could reach you, how they could get at you, collaborate, do whatever they need to do. But let's bring Onyx back on the line real quick. Oh.
Thank you so much. I actually don't have any questions because you guys covered everything and more, and I'm excited. I really enjoyed you tonight, Honey Stacks, and I didn't know a lot about your journey, and I learned a lot about you tonight. So that just made me respect you even more, especially the mentoring the children, and I have children as well, two boys, 8 years old. So I really, the Sandy Hook thing touched me as well. So it's really nice to hear you speak on the reasons why you did it and how you didn't want to come out, just your hesitance with it, everything. We can tell that you're a really real and genuine person and very humble with all of your success. And it's just really nice to see that. It's hard to find these days. And it is, refreshing to know that you've been in the game and you didn't just pick up your pen and pad yesterday. That's always dope.
Yeah.
So, and I also wanted to say I really enjoyed the fact how you, were honest with us and told us, you know, I just was freestyling. I had to learn how to do a song and structure production. And then I went and got feedback. Oh, and then I went back and did this. And then I went to perform, you know, not just straight to the stage, not just straight to the studio. So I respect that in you because it shows that you wanted to put forth the work it took to actually put out a good product. So I just wanted to say, you know, commend you on pretty much everything. And I wish you much success as well and hope to work with you in the future, have you back on, whatever we can do. And good luck. You can be the next 50 for show. Honey Stacks.
Thank you, man. I appreciate y'all.
Alrighty.
It's all good, my brother. Why don't you give the people your contact information, fam? Let them know how they can reach you, and let them know basically all your social networks so they can start following your movement.
That's right.
Cool. Check me on again, huntedstacks.blogspot.com. That's HUNITSTACKZ. Any other stacks is not me.
That's right. Set the record straight.
Not the stacks, not the all the, yo, it is, man. Once you get online, you start noticing that, yo, damn, everybody, there'll be at least three or four yous out there, man. You could think you had the name that's uncommon, and there's still somebody that's gonna have that name.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. I done changed my name like three or four times.
Yeah.
That same thing, but it is what it is.
That's right. Well, we definitely
appreciate
you.
Y'all.
We appreciate you too.
We appreciate you coming, and want to give a shout out to the Baltimore Ravens.
Super Bowl champs, years in the making. I went through that emotionally every year. Like, oh, we was almost there. We got it this year. So shout out to Baltimore.
Same
shout out back home. Over West.
Yeah, nah, I'm not.
Landmark, Freedom Way. What? Shout out to Batman and D. I know they listening. Block Boy Music.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
that's
shout
what
out to
us.
About
shout
to
out
say, shout out Backland and Block Boy
oh,
Music.
Oh, and shout out to JD, too.
No doubt.
The general out there, man. I seen them putting up pictures of rehearsals and everything. So they're getting it ready for the 20th anniversary, man. I had to give the Ravens shout out for Ravens Nation, man. Even though I'm from New York, I've been a Ravens fan forever, man, since Ray Lewis came into the league. And I was out there in Tampa when they won it I'm against the Giants, man, and I almost got into so many fights in them bars out there. He's like, you from New York? How the fuck you? He's like, yo, I'm just Ravens, dude, man. Like, that defense, I fell in love with that defense, how they flew around the field. And I've been a Ravens fan ever since, for years. So I'm so happy Ray went out on top. You know what I'm saying? But, again, we have my man, Honey Stacks. Shout out to the whole Block Boy gang.
Shout it out.
Glad. Yo, Honey, keep doing your thing, my brother. You know what I'm saying? And keep checking in with us, man. Call in. We be talking about crazy topics, man. Matter of fact, if we don't got nothing to do, we get into a little bit of news. We're going to do a light joint, talk about Lil Wayne and his antics. If you want to chime in on that, you can stay on the line and chime in on that, man. We just got to get in how crazy these niggas be getting in hip-hop sometimes and talk about it a little bit.
I can hear back on that. Like, no, nigga, hang up. No. Don't let that nigga talk about them niggas.
Well, while you decide on that, we're going to go ahead and take this quick break, come back with the news on the cut, G14 Radio. This is the 50 Cent Snoop Dogg Jeezy new one dropping it right now.
Major distribution.
Yeah. I'm trying to move one. I'm trying to move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, four.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor. Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more. Boy.
Run till the blood I'm gripping, go tell the trips I'm blood. Nigga, I be tripping, bitch, I don't give a fuck. I put the K on niggas, I spray on niggas. Come through 2012, XJ on niggas. I'm an apex predator, nigga, I'm strong. Shooters on deck, I break bread and they own you. Niggas said I fell off, oh, you heard I fell off. Why the fuck would you be repeating that? Nigga, I'm a rat tycoon, make $100 mil by June. Now who the fuck said I can't rap? Jack, I'm in the dope scene dream. I got it from broad, got the morphine memories. I've been breaking the law, I was born a founder. In the stroller with the llama. I'm violent, I kill a nigga, put that on my mama. Nah, don't tell me nothing about none of these niggas. I smoke all these niggas for this word. I'm trying to move 1 brick, 2 brick, 3 bricks, 4, more. I'm trying to move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, 4.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor. Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more. Boy. I give a fuck about a fed as I jump up out of bed. 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, yeah. I'm trying to put this shit away. On the low, I need a hit a day. Think you better get away from my, oh my. I got a birdie that'll fly. From Cali to Kingston, back to NY. Snoop, Master Kush, 05 to 9. Combined, get you some pounds, and now you're flying high. Rubble with the metal with my foot to the pedal. G's with the trees and the things on my level. 5-0, you know I go hard. These fools call me Bogart. Head nigga in charge. These niggas soft as the bar. But I ain't tripping, I'm just flipping my G's. Cause if you really want the bomb, come and fuck with your G's. I got it. Always chill, always real. Had that, say that, my nigga, get that. You hear that?
I'm trying to move 1 brick, 2 brick, 3 bricks, 4 more.
Real talk.
I'm trying to move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, four.
Let's do it.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor. Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more. Boy.
5 a.m. in the kitchen, nigga, I'm coughing. Bag full of white 8-balls, I'm going golfing. The homie got killed last night, bought him a coffin. Retaliated the same night, made him a dolphin. Guess that's the life of a yay flipper. Top of make your ass get naked just like a stripper. Got cameras for the jackets, home invaders, man. Them niggas coming all black like they Raiders fans. All I saw growing up was kilos and gang bangers. Then the homie taught me to whip, game changer. Now I'm breaking down birds on the coffee table. Yeah, and have them bitches sold before they off the table. Got a little nigga want them a half, I'm gon' split it. The type of nigga work that vision like it's a skillet. Let's throw them more water, stretch it like it's the last. Two bitches rapping,
I'm trying to move
yeah.
1 brick, 2 brick, 3 bricks, 4 more. I'm trying to move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, 4.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor, floor, floor. Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds more. Boy, boy, boy. Yeah, you know what it is. It's your crippin' cousin, 5-0. Anytime you need that motherfuckin' smoke, you know I got it, cuz. You need 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever you need, you know I got it. And if them niggas out there in the NY need it, give them my connect so I can hook them niggas up with that tongue. Ooh wait, ooh wait. I'm trying to move this shit, cuz. For real though.
Already, welcome back to Global 14 Radio The Cut. Live with the news, just had the homie 100 Stacks coming the line live. Q&A with the homie Golden. It was very dope, very intriguing, learned a lot. Very excited to have had him on tonight. News, Golden.
Ah, man, yeah. Shout out to 100 Stacks for coming on and kicking in with us tonight, man. And I just got one topic, man, that I wanted to, you know, ask you about, you know, see what you thought about it. And that was that Lil Weezy situation, man. Basically, let me get into it. Let the people know if they don't know what happened. I think it was may have been last week or the week before at a Miami Heat game. They said Wayne was cheering for the Lakers. It was when the Lakers played Miami. And Wayne was cheering for the Lakers, so he started getting into it with a few fans. And I guess he looked at one of the fans and, you know, did the air gun symbol, like he shot him or whatever, like, you know, pointed at somebody and, you know, gave a little air gun symbol like he killed him or whatever. So he got thrown out of the game. He got thrown out of the game. They escorted him out the arena. Shortly after that, Lil Wayne had proclaimed that the NBA banned him from other arenas because of this. So he's on a fuck Miami Heat tear right now. So recently, All-Star Weekend, you know, everybody's out there, all the stars, all the rappers, all the musicians. There was a party, YMCMB party. Then Lil Wayne got on stage and basically, you know, said, you know, fuck the Miami Heat, fuck the NBA, fuck LeBron James, fuck She-Wade, called D-Wade She-Wade, fuck Chris Bosh, and then said, went on to say, as a matter of fact, I fucked Chris Bosh's wife. So I'm like, damn. That homie is doing a lot. He's tripping a lot. And then he said, you know, I'm not Tupac. I'm the new Pac. So,
yeah.
Know a lot of people got strong feelings out there about Tupac. So niggas went online immediately and was like, oh, this nigga's crazy. Like, what is he talking about? You know, so I wanted to know, did you hear about that? What did you think about that? You think Lil Wayne? What you think Lil Wayne is pretty much about to jeopardize a lot of his, not even his career, but the people under him, like Drake and Nicki. I mean, Drake's a big NBA fan.
He is.
Him and LeBron are real cool.
And so was Wayne at one point. So I'm just like, I mean, you know what? I think Wayne was had a little too much in the veins that night. Or in these specific occasions, I'm not really sure. I'm not understanding what he's dealing with right now. But it definitely is a new thing. And, you know, obviously it's not publicity because Wayne doesn't need that.
Right.
Wayne is tripping. Bottom line, you know, I definitely think that it wasn't the best move for him or the team or the label itself. They all tend to do things that aren't the best, such as Nicki with Summer Jam and everything. But, you know, it's always been music related or just, you know, whatever they were tied to in the past, possibly, you know, maybe like Criminal or whatever. You know, and even, you know, some things with girls, but it's still like Rihanna and Drake. But it's never just been like who beefs with basketball, you know, in NBA. So I think Wayne is you know, those kind of things go hand in hand in a way, sports and music. And I don't think that was the best thing to do on his part. I really don't. And I hope he can bounce back from this, and I hope he can do maybe a public apology to those that you know, had nothing to do with it. As far as the Chris Bosh thing, I keep seeing all these stories about how she stole money from him and they worked actually together and stuff like that. So I'm not sure about the Chris Bosh, with Adrian Bosh, I think her name is. I'm not sure about the whole situation between the two of them. However, I read that they dated and then she pretended to have cancer and then took the money and never came back or something like that. So that's what I know of her and that situation. Maybe that's why he spoke on that in the way he did. But again, I just felt like it was reckless. You know, it was kind of just as bad as when, who was it? Lupe Fiasco got up there doing the most, you know? But this is different because, you know, we're not going to, you can't persuade me to not like LeBron James anymore because you're ranting. So I'm not sure. I just thought it was really weird, and I think he was just extra high. That's just my stance.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. I don't think that, you know, I really don't feel any type of way with Wayne because Wayne is Wayne. And like you said, he don't need publicity.
Right.
He don't need none of that. He just gonna do what he do. But,
right.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, him not caring about shit, he not realizing that he puts, you know, the Drakes and the Nickys and, you know, different people that are out there really doing their thing, he may put them in hard spots sometimes because, you know, you out there, you're saying F this person, but these people got relationships with these people as well. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? And, you know, you don't want, you're not saying that
their relationship
and LeBron or Dwayne or
exactly.
anybody should shit on Drake and Nicki or anybody
right.
because of Lil Wayne, but when you get to people trying not to stop supporting, that's
yeah.
a whole different thing. When somebody is saying, okay, cool, we cool with y'all, but we gonna stop putting money in y'all pocket
yeah.
type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cause
you could start hurting them like that. And you don't
exactly.
want, I don't think you wanna get to a point where you're alienating your crew.
Exactly.
And, you know, things that they could do, you kind of cutting that off at the pass. And people are not going to say, oh, we not doing that with y'all because we don't fuck with Wayne. They just
right.
not going to do it.
Exactly. And then, you know, like I said, it kind of goes hand in hand in a way. You know, those the industries, period, but especially with those two, like, you know, when you have your, you know, just everything, you know, when they have, you know, you play music when the sports teams come out and, even All-Star Weekend, that's a perfect example. You know, all the stars come together. You know, you have your NBA people in there, and then you have the artists in there in the same building and venue. So you're taking some of the hottest names and the hottest names in, you know, sports and music, and now you're making an uncomfortable scene for people. So especially those who are fans of both. And the NBA is a sports period, it has a lot of money and industry into it. And you think about all the endorsements, Sprite and shoes, and I'm just not understanding what he's dealing with. Like I said, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
I
been
hope
a
he gets
few
better.
Little things for him
yeah,
coming
he's been,
up. Even
he's been doing
the
a lot.
Emmett Till situation.
Yeah,
the,
that was a
that
little
was, that,
odd.
He was just way overboard with
yeah,
that right there.
I don't know what he's doing right now. I'm not understanding what he's got going on because that was the first thing I heard. And then I just kind of said, okay, well, you know. And then the next thing was the gun thing, you know, him doing the little, you know, thing with his hand. And then now this. So I'm not sure. I think he's, I don't know. I wonder what Birdman and everybody else has to say, you know.
Well, Birdman's going to ride with Lil Wayne to the end. You know what I'm saying? That's one
mm-hmm,
thing
that's
I could respect about Wayne and Birdman's relationship.
Yeah.
You know, too much,
he ain't
you know.
Right.
Yeah. Even if, you know, it's some
mm-hmm.
bullshit going down, you
mm-hmm.
really not going to catch them not riding with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, my personal opinion, which doesn't matter to any other YMCB camp, and I'm not saying it for them, is that, you know, I think Wayne should kind of, you know, just take a look at, you know, his other artists and, maybe next time before he voices an opinion like that, maybe he said, this is Wayne's, this is my thing, not YMCMB, this is me talking.
Yeah.
You know, just so they don't get caught in them crossfires, you know.
Exactly. Because everybody can't interpret it too, and not everybody understands that. And then you get into the new bloggers of today, and it just spirals out of control. And then you got all the YouTube tutorials and reviews, so that will come up about it, forming their opinion. So I agree with you completely. I hope that he could, you know, think twice, at least in the way that he words things. And I honestly just think he's on something. I mean, I don't really know. I've never seen him act out like that. Not like I know him personally, but, you know, this is a little extra, and it's kind of uncalled for. It's the beginning of the year as well. So what is he dealing with?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's out there. And just wanted to holler about that a little while. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we get the call show. Get a call show about nothing but the news topics and get people's different opinions on what's going on. But I think we had a great show tonight, man. A lot of nuggets being dropped on the fans and the audience. We definitely appreciate y'all for riding with the cut, listening to us, man. You know what I'm saying? We get on here and do our thing every Wednesday. But good show tonight, man. Good show.
It was definitely a nice show, and I just want to mention real quick, and that we don't have to get into it any heavier deep, that also the TLC biopic has been casted. You know, they're coming out with their TV movie, movie for TV, or how do you say it, and the they are starring, what is the girl's name that's playing T-Boz? She's a Disney Channel girl. I'm going to pull up her name real quick, but you actually have Little Mama, who's doing Left Eye. A lot of people thought that was pretty much appropriate. And then you have, what is the girl that is playing Kiki? She is actually playing Chili. And I thought Chili. Kiki Palmer. Mm-hmm. Kiki Palmer is actually playing
Chili. I love Kiki Palmer.
Yeah, she's so cute, so sweet. And she's been doing her thing for a minute. It's so nice to see her, and consistent, you know what I mean? And growth. It's great to see her doing that part. And then you have Drusadora is her name. So pretty. Disney Channel is where she started, I want to say. And now she's playing the role of T-Boz. So that's supposed to start filming actually in Atlanta next month. So nice. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. And we got to get someone on the line to speak about that. Hopefully Chili soon. Give a call to her PR and see what we can do. So.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to checking that joint out, man. They had a nice story, TLC had a nice story with some ups and downs. So that should definitely be an interesting biopic on them.
That's right. Well, definitely again, like I said, it was a great show, Golden. Awesome interview. Really enjoyed everything. It was really nice to hear about the streets of Baltimore. From someone who's actually there, born and raised and whatnot. We will be back next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you follow myself and Golden on both Twitter and Global 14. Again, this is Global 14 Ready to Cut via the social networking site of Jermaine Dupri, global14.com. And this weekend, everybody, me and Golden will be in the A. We will be
Atlanta,
there.
Yo, yeah, we coming out there. Shout out all the lifers. You know, we gonna try to get it in. You know, we gonna be on the red carpet. You know, trying to get them exclusive interviews and doing the whole 20th anniversary joint. You know, that's going down. JD gonna shut down Atlanta. You know, they don't call that man the mayor of Atlanta for nothing, man. So, Fox Theater get ready to turn up on Saturday. Compound Nightclub turning up on Saturday. A couple joints I'm hearing is going down, and Magic City gonna turn up. There's a lot of places turning up the volume and turning up the turn up. So,
yeah.
You know, we're gonna be out there just trying to enjoy the festivities, man, and live that so deaf life for a weekend, man. Looking forward to it.
I know, I'm so excited. Can't wait. I'll be back next week. We might tell you all about it, guys. follow me at Onyx254 on Twitter and global14.com.
Hit me up on Twitter, TheGlue, THAGLUE, and on global14.com, Golden Fleece. Sayonara, peoples. Another Wednesday in the books.
Ain't nobody fucking with my clique. I got the brat with me.
You know,
I got Bow Wow with me. Shady, y'all. I got Dondre with me. My man Fresh Cocaine with me. This is so dead. And me?
We having a celebration.
Y'all know who I am.
We having a celebration.
Yeah.
We having a celebration.
Y'all know what this is.
3 in the morning. Niggas is yawning. But I'm as crook as they come. Niggas is boring. See, I'm still pouring. Brothers just rolled up a blunt. Would you please get out of the way? These real NWAs. Blowing that smoke in your face while we running the streets to the A's. Shots, some back shots, back seats, some mattress. Thugging that passion. Let me know how you want it done. Party like every day. Yeah, we high like every day. I'm not trying to throw it in your face, but we living like we on vacation.
D-R-I-A, yes, you should know my name. Keep the bad ones with me, and they always glad we came. Pop, pop, popping bottles of that rose, and man, we so turned up. Baby, don't stop popping. So, Jeff, you know what's up. Ooh, I can change a life.
Yeah.
Boy, come on over here and get yourself a slice.
You want that cake.
And I'ma give it to you. Blow it up, light it up, sit back and watch me do it for you.
Hey, hey, hey.
Talk to me,
motherfuckers is acting a fool. I'm here to celebrate the occasion. Hashtag confirmation. So that's the location. Pop a Molly, I'm on vacation.
Woo!
Fuck parole and probation.
Woo!
Nigga, roll up that Cindy so my piss test to stay pretty. Them time for the my face. Just in case, still on my way. Please don't run up, run up. Cause bitch, I turn up, turn up. I wanna send you to the ER. Compliment to be Ara, Ara.
Well, hey, so that we so for real. Fuck the rules, we do what we feel.
All these niggas up in here mad now. Feelings to yourself, everybody in the back now. Hey, and we don't need no reason. Fine, bar out any day, any season. Hey. Put the cushion out back,
yeah.
Roll it too tight, make sure that they pull good.
Hit it though, I don't smoke, I'm stressed. Gotta be purple, better. Shout out my connect, I'm at the strip club every night. You know them hoes love me, just like Montana. Pop that pussy for me,
get him back.
So, nigga, you know. 40 bands for this shoe blow. Got me a bad bitch in my pseudo. Ain't no squares up in my circle, nigga. You talk shit, then you dead me. Run around, listen to Greg Street. I'm chained up, I'm rimmed up. My J's on, put them Tim's up. Hold up.
Hey, what you
doing? Ball like Jermaine taught me. Spending all of this cash. 26th of my life so fast.
What
I got four bitches up in my room. One is all for Molly. Got a girlfriend in the closet. Shit, time to start this party. Hold up.
Yeah. Fresh cocaine up in the building. Got my mind set on that million. Don't really give a damn about those who be grilling.
Yeah.
I came up from nothing to something. So devil get me, I'm hurt. And I'm rapping that east side, screaming out loud. I'm blowing that loud, red cover that brown. Now, look at the TV, I'm getting it. Flow is incredible, swagger ridiculous. Go out the show, every city I go, they be showing me love. Cause I'm simply meant for this.
But hold up, gonna roll up.
Cause I'm smoking and toasting and living a life. Started playing hard to get right now, but I better beat it up by the end of the night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So many days I grind, but I know that I'ma shine. Just waiting on my time, yeah.
Yeah.
Go hard till ain't nothing left. See the charm on my chest. Bitch, you know I'm so deaf. Ooh.
You heard.